The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Emor, but it also comes out to be Lag BaEmor, this evening. This is the 33rd day of the Emor, the 18th Chai Iyor, the 18th of Iyor. And therefore, it's appropriate to speak to talk some Divrei Torah which is relevant to the evening. The actual day of Lag BaEmor is brought in Shulchan Aruch that we should be Marbe B'Simcha K'tzas. We should add a little Simcha to the day. The day is not mentioned, though, at all in the Shas. And therefore, it's Nisraba Adeos. There are a number of opinions as to exactly what the day is. Some say that the great plague that took place, which we'll learn about in the Gemara Nachil during the course of the Shiur, which took place and from the great tragedies of Klal Yisrael that killed the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva, the disciples of Rebbe Akiva, 24,000 of them, which the Gemara mentions, Mi Pesach Ba'ad Atzeres, took place from Pesach to Shavuos. This is a Gemara in Yevamah Samach Beis Amud Beis. Some say that on this day the plague stopped. And even though the Gemara implies that they died all the way from Pesach to Shavuos, so how can we say that the plague stopped on this day? So the Maral writes in the Nesivat Torah and the Nesivat Avos Reah that those who died later on already took sick from the plague beforehand. But there were no new sicknesses from this day on. That's one opinion. Others say that it's the Yahrzeit of Reb Shimon Yochai. He was the great Talmid of Rebbe Akiva, and he was one of the Talmidim that Rebbe Akiva started to teach Torah to again after his original Talmidim died. And he was a Tana of a Mishnah. He's also particularly famous because he was the Mechaber, the author of the Zeh HaKodesh, which is the major source of the works of the Tanoim, of the rabbis of the Mishnah, for our Chachmei Seid. Chachmei Seid are the concealed knowledge of the Torah. Others say that it was on this day that Rabbi Shimon Yochai and his son Elozer came out of the cave. The Gemara in Shabbos relates that the Romans wanted to kill them, and they had to go and hide in a cave, and they stayed there for many, many years. And it was on this day that they came out of the cave, and they gained their freedom. That's why it's a celebration. There's yet another opinion. This is brought in the name of the Chidor, where he rejects these opinions, and he says, no, this was the day when the Gemara relates that Rebbe Akiva started a new yeshiva after the plague, and he started to teach Torah to a number of Talmidim again, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai was amongst them. He started on this day. This was the day when he started to teach anew again to new Talmidim. Whatever the reason is, we see that the day is related to the plague that took place, or to Rebbe Akiva and his Talmidim. So perhaps this evening let's try to learn something from Rabbi Akiva, who was one of our greatest sages. And there is a great deal that one can learn from him. One aspect in particular which we can learn from him, and we have spoken about this in the past, was the way he conducted himself in regards to the Nisyonos HaChaim, to the challenges, to the pitfalls, to the difficulties of life. You know, life is not an easy road, it's not a bed of roses. I saw not long ago a copy of one of the droshes that the late Rabbi Yishai ben Soloveitchik gave for the Yotzeit of his father, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. And he writes there, the Torah teaches us just the opposite of what other religions, such as Christianity, teaches. When it comes to Christianity or these type of religions, once you sign up, then they'll take care of the rest for you. You sign the card, you become a good Christian, now you're guaranteed an easy life. Torah teaches us just the opposite. That signing up doesn't guarantee you anything. What's going to guarantee you is your labor and your toil in this world. And not 1 year of labor and not 2 years of labor, but a lifetime of labor. You will be judged by what you did during your lifetime. And to the contrary, we learn, the greater the person, the more he's tested, the more difficult his life is going to be, the greater the challenges. It states, Velakim Nisuas Avraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu came to test Avraham. Mikan that Kodesh Baruch Hu tests his tzaddikim. Who does he test? Tests the tzaddikim, the righteous. The greater the person, the greater the test. Avraham was from our greatest. He had the greatest challenges. Asor Nishenes, Nishnasu Avraham. 10 challenges. Asor Nishenes, consistently we find. And each test was greater than the next. So, life is by no means an easy road. Now, different people face up differently to the difficulties of life. There are many, unfortunately, that become broken by the difficulties of life. Like a Chazal tell us in the Mishnah of Avos, Al tishashu min haparonius. Do not give up because of difficulties. Many become broken, or they become broken of spirit, broken of heart. There are others who become very hard and embittered. They'll tell you, I had a very difficult life. Wasn't easy. Rabbi Akiva becomes a classical teacher. Becomes a classical teacher to Klal Yisrael. How a Jew must face life. Let's trace his life a bit. What were the beginnings of Rabbi Akiva? The Ovis Rabbi Nosson tells us in Perek Vav Simon Beis, Hoya Ben Mem Shona, Velekor Velechona. He was 40 years old, and he had never learned anything. He was 40 years old, and he had never learned Chumash. He had never learned Mishnah. So he certainly did not enjoy a good education. And he certainly did not enjoy a good position in Jewish society amongst the intellectuals or amongst the Torah scholars. To add to this, he did not have a good lineage. The Gemara says he didn't have schus ovis, he couldn't pride himself on his lineage, on his ancestors. Because Akiva ben Yosef, Akiva was the son of Yosef, Yosef ger tzedekoyo. His father was a ger, his father was a convert. In general, the time when he lived, you know, people say, look, it was Nebuch my mazel, my misfortune, during what period of history I lived in, or where I lived, and so forth. Rabbi Akiva lived in very bad times. He lived right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, after the Romans had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and after they had taken over Yerushalayim. It was very bad and depressing times for Klal Yisrael. His Rebbe, later on, would become Rebbe Lezer HaGodol. Rebbe Lezer HaGodol was from the Talmidim of Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai. And the Rambam writes this in the Hagdoma to his Yad Chazaka. Excuse me. Rebbe Lezer HaGodol was the Talmud of Rebbe Yechman Zakkai. And Rebbe Yechman Zakkai was the one who negotiated, or tried to negotiate, a peace treaty with the Romans when they had sieged Yerushalayim. So he lived not long after the great disaster of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So there were many, many things against him. In addition to this, he was not a wealthy merchant or a person who was an outstanding success in commerce. He was a Rei Etzon, a shepherd. He worked for Kalba Shavua. Kalba Shavua was one of the wealthy men of Yerushalayim. The Gemara, and before the siege of the Roman, before the Churban, the destruction, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara relates in Perek HaNizokin, Gittin, it relates that when there was the siege, there were three people in Yerushalayim who were so wealthy that they said that they could hold out the whole city for 3 years, and one was Kalba Shavua. So he was a worker for him. He was in charge of the sheep. Also, he was very far from Torah. The Gemara Mesachim on Mem Tes Amud Beis tells us that Rabbi Akiva told, was later to tell his students, Kishoyisi Amo Oretz, when I was an ignoramus, I hated the Talmidei Chachomim. I hated the Talmidei Chachomim so much that I wanted to bite them, bite them in the back like a donkey. This is how I hated them. She was someone who was very far from all of this. Taisus brings proofs that he was a shomer mitzvahs. He kept mitzvahs, and he was a person of outstanding qualities, outstanding character traits. But when it came to knowledge, when it came to his attitude, he felt that the Talmidei Chachomim looked down on this segment of society, and therefore he became isolated and he had a great barrier against them. So,
In this background, Rabbi Akiva grew up, and he was 40. Now 40 is not a boy anymore. 40 is already well into mid-age. Then the Gemara tells us, this is a Gemara in Ksubas, and in the Dorim, Ksubas Samach Beis Amach Beis, in the Dorim Daf Nun Reish Omer Aleph, that the daughter of Kalba Shavua, Rachel, was very much impressed with him, very attracted to him. She saw, the Gemara brings, he was Sonu O'Malley. He was a person of great modesty and a person of very, very good quality. And he was attracted to her. So she told him one day, I will agree to marry you, but on the condition that you will go and study Torah. Now that itself is not an easy thing. Here, coming from all of this background, not knowing anything, and he was 40 years old, he accepted. That itself is an enormous achievement. Person in midlife, and always was against the Talmidei Chachamim, and coming from very, very meager backgrounds, he said, I'll do it. We'll see, his life was full of ups and downs. This was an up. It didn't last very long. But it tells us that when Kalba Shavua, when the father heard, found out of this, here from the wealthiest in Yerushalayim, and he had a daughter, and he wanted from the great sages of Israel, and here comes this shepherd and this ignoramus. So he became furious, and he tried with all of his might to stop what was going on. Nevertheless, they persisted, and secretly they became married. And when the father found out about this, he drove them both out of the house, and he took a neder, he took a vow, where this Akiva or his daughter should never have any benefit from all his possessions. So he totally ostracized them, he totally drove them away, so he didn't have time to enjoy this up so much. And they had to go and live in dire poverty. Maud relates that such poverty that they had to sleep on straw, this was especially difficult for Rachel. She was the daughter, she was like a princess. And to sleep on straw, the Maud tells a story when she used to get up in the morning. The first thing she had to do was take all the straw out of her hair. That's when Rabbi Akiva tells us, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Bameh Isha Yotzeis, the Gemara is discussing what kind of ornaments can a woman go out with on Shabbos, where it's not a question of carrying and so forth. So the Gemara brings there Ir Shel Zahov. They can go out with a city of gold. So the Gemara asks, my Ir Shel Zahov, what is a city of gold? So it says, Kigain, the Ovid Rabbi Kiva Lidvisihu. Like Rabbi Kiva later on made for his wife. When he used to see that she would have to pick out the straw from her hair, he would say that one day, if I'm wealthy, I will make you an Ir Shel Zahov. This was a crown, a takshit, an ornament that the women would wear in their hair, on their head. It was made out of pure gold, and it was made, fashioned to the design of the city of Yerushalayim. Incidentally, that's where the modern expression Yerushalayim Shel Zahov comes from. Okay. Jerusalem of gold. They were so poor and they suffered so much that the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had compassion. So one day he sent Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu the prophet, disguised as a regular person, to knock on their door and to ask them to say, he said, my wife is expecting a baby and we have nothing to sleep on. Perhaps you could give us a little straw. So the Bekiva turned to his wife and he said, look, there are some people that have even less than us. And this was a consolation to them. Anyway, so again, the Bekiva found himself at the bottom, sleeping on the floor in straw. He picked himself up and he started to learn. From Avos Rav Nosson, it seems that he didn't even know the aleph beis. So he had to start from the beginning. And he learned day and night. And through these great difficulties of being cut off from the entire family, he and Rachel, and this poverty, until he was ready to go learn by greater people. Then they decided that he must go now, this was a number of years later, go and learn by great people, where he would have to go out of town. So therefore, he went to learn by Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol and Rabbi Yeshua. These were the great disciples of Rabbi Yehiam ben Zakkai. These were the Chachmei Hador, the greatest of the generation. He stayed there many years. And now, Rachel had to go through additional suffering, besides all of the suffering that she was going through. Now she was what, like an almona chayim, like a widow of a live husband. The Gemara brings in a dorim that her neighbor would taunt her and would tell her that your father was right in trying to stop this marriage. Look who you married. He has deserted you. It has been years and years since he's come back. Then the Gemara relates that after 12 years of being away from home and away from Rachel, he decided to come home. And by that time he had learned so much that he had 12,000 talmidim. As he was coming home, again this neighbor was taunting Rachel, telling him, look, your father was right. Look what kind of husband. You're a lamona chayis. You're a widow of a person who's a live husband. So she said that if he would ask me, I would tell him to go away for another 12 years. And Rabbi Akiva overheard this by the door. So he went. He said, she's giving me permission. He went back for another 12 years. This time he came back with 24,000 talmidim. Now, the Gemara relates when he came back, here he was at the height of his career. By that time he was world famous. The Gemara a number of times relates Akiva ben Yosef Akiva, the son of Yosef, whose name has gone from one end of the world to the other. And when he was coming back to the city where he was staying, and he was followed by the 24,000 students, it says, Kuli Alma, the whole world, everybody in the city, went to meet him. And Rachel heard he was coming back, so she was going to go out and meet him also. So again, the neighbor taunted her, and she says, where are you going to go? You're dressed in rags. She says, don't worry. And the Gemara relates how she went, and she fought her way through the crowds. And she managed to get upright. There were tens of thousands of people. She managed to get upright to where she was, to where Rabbi Akiva was. And she fell on the ground. And she grabbed a hold of his legs. And Shammai, his gaboyim, his aides, wanted to drive her away. And Rabbi Akiva recognized her, and he said, no. He says, Hanichalo, Shalivi Shalachem Shalohi, Shalohu. Everything that I have and everything that you have, he told the Talmidim, belongs to her. Because she was the one who inspired him to go and to learn. And then the Gemara relates further that Kalba Shavua, the father-in-law, when he heard that such a great man was coming to the city, meanwhile he was suffering because he had lost his daughter and his son-in-law. He didn't know where their whereabouts. So he said, Gavra Rabo Osi, such a great man is coming to the city, let me go and speak to him. Maybe he can release me from my vow. See, and he didn't know this was his son-in-law. So he went to him, made an appointment, went to him. So Rabbi Akiva said, what kind of vow did you make? So he told him. So he said, Rabbi Akiva asked him, when you made this vow, why did you do it? He says, because I didn't want my daughter to go off with an amoris, to marry an ignoramus. He says, had you known that this person would one day be a Talmud Chacham, would you have made the vow? In other words, he was trying to bring out that perhaps it was an eremetos. See, it was a vow that was made erroneously. You made it because you thought she was marrying an ignoramus that would remain an ignoramus his whole life. So he said, Afilu perekechot. Had I known that he would learn even one chapter, I wouldn't have made the vow. I was convinced that this was a shepherd, an ignoramus that would be like this for the rest of his life. So he says, Anohu, I am your son-in-law. And the vow is dissolved. So again we find that Rabbi Akiva now crawled off the ground and went to the height of success. Not only was he successful as a Rosh Yeshiva, 24,000 students, and the world was full of his Torah, but he became an enormously wealthy person. Immediately Kalba Shavua made up for all of their suffering, and he made him wealthy, and the Gemara brings that he gained wealth from other places, became an enormously wealthy person. Now, when usually you read the novels or the biographies, it ends there. See? But unfortunately, life is not a novel, it's not a biography. He became greater. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put greater tests on him. Enormous tests on him. What happened next? I mean, there are probably many, many things that happened, but what of great historical note? The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, (clears
can you get
also on Samach Beis on the base. Omru, they said, Shnaim Eser Elef Zugim Talmidim Hoyele Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, 24,000. Begivas Ar Antiferes, from Givas until Antiferes. Bekulam Meisu Beperek Echot, and they all died at one time. Because they did not give the proper honor one to the other. Now these 24,000 Talmidim had lit up the entire world. Now the world became dark and desolate. The world became desolate from Torah. Until Rabbi Kiva decided that he's going to travel to the south, and there were some Talmidim, and he got together a group of them, Vishon Olehem, and he taught the Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Shimon, Blozer ben Shamua, five. The Heim Hamidu Torah, Isosho. And they were, from these five, Torah came back to Israel. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kula Mesa, Mipesek, Varatzeres. They all died from Pesach to Aseres, to Shavuos. This was during the Sfiras HaEmer, and this is why we have the period of mourning during the Sfiras HaEmer, the Avelus. Omer B'chama Barabba V'yitem R'bchir Barabin Kulam Mesum Misoro. They all died a very difficult death. Mahi Omer Rav Nachman Askaro. What was it, Askaro? Askaro is a certain type of sickness that attacks the throat and the voice. Now, the Rebbe Kiva was not a young man here. He was 40 when he started. He didn't go learn by the leaders of the generation the next year. And he was there for 24 years. And when he came back, he was a good many years enjoying the comfort of Kalba Shavua. See, he was a man, he could have been in his 70s. And this was his life's work, 24,000 Talmidim. And he saw them die, Beperek Echot, Kulam Mesa Beperek Echot at one time. Bepesach Ad Shavuos, during 1 7-week period. In other words, his world was destroyed. Now, this would break anyone. There's no doubt he was a broken man. The average person could never survive an experience, such a churban. What did Rebbe Kiva do? Well, there's no doubt that he said Shiva. There's no doubt he was broken. There's no doubt it took time for him to adjust himself and to reorientate him and to assess the situation. But what did he eventually do? The Gemara tells us something here which is unbelievable. It said, Shebo Rebbe Kiva Eitzel Rabbi Seinu Shebedorim. The Rebbe Kiva went to the south to try to organize another group of Talmidim. And there he started over. He started with five to teach Torah over again. In other words, he was down and out. The Torah tells us, Mishlei, Sadik Yipol Sheva, Sheva Tzipol Tzadik V'Kom. Everyone falls, but the Tzadik always gets up. He fell, but he got up. He told himself, what am I going to do? Stay on the ground. I'm still alive. He got up. He didn't tell himself, well, there's no use in life anymore. There's no hope anymore. Or, I'm an old man. He got up and said, we start over. And he went, and he got together a group of 5 Talmidim, and started a new yeshiva, and started to teach them. And in this, the fruits of his old years brought Torah back to the world. Because of this, the Gemara brings that he darshaned from the Pasuk in Keheles. There's a Pasuk in Keheles that states, this is Keheles Yud Aleph. Keheles Yud Aleph Pasuk Vav. States, in the morning plant your seeds, in the evening do not withhold. Because you never know who will be the successful one. This means that in the morning you should plant. This refers to your youth. In the evening, in your old age, you should carry on. Because you never know which achievements will succeed and which ones will not. So Rabbi Akiva darshaned, the Gemara brings, he said as follows. Rabbi Akiva Imar Lamatera Biyaldusai, Yomatera Biziknusai. If you learn Torah in your youth, carry on in your old age. Do not say, I've learned enough Torah. If you brought up Talmidim in your youth, bring up Talmidim in your old age. Shinema, like Shlema Melech said, Bebek Ezra Azarecho, Be'erev Altanech Yodecho. In the morning, you shall plant, and in the evening, you shall must carry on. Rashi brings in Keheles. Rashi says as follows. Let me just find it. Im lamare te Torah biyaldusko lamare te rizik nasecho. If you study Torah in your youth, carry on in your old age. If you had disciples in your youth, carry on making more disciples in your old age. Nosata isha bas bonim biyaldusko. If you married a woman who gave birth in her youth, now she's not here anymore, and you're going to remarry. Tiso isha bas bonim biziknusas. You shall look for a wife who can give birth again. You give a lot of charity in your youth. Don't say, well, I did plenty when I was young. Carry on even when you're old. Because you do not know which ones will be successful. You do not know if it'll be the ones from your youth or the ones from your old age. Motzina b'Rabbi Akiva, we see by Rabbi Akiva that he had 24,000 Talmidim that covered all of Eretz Yisrael. And they all died in one period. And he came to the south and he taught there a group. And it was that group that brought Torah back to the world. In other words, had Rabbi Akiva decided that he's not going to do anything else, it's time for retirement now, we wouldn't have had Torah. Then Rashi brings from another case, from Abtsin. Abtsin was Boaz. Boaz is the one who married Ruth in his old age. Abtsin had 60 children, the Gemara brings. Maybe he had a number of wives. And he had 30 daughters and 30 sons. And 30 daughters he married off to 30 men. And 30 other daughters of others he brought to marry his sons. The Kula Mesa Bechayev. The state said they all died in his lifetime. Bezik Nusai, when he was old, he married Ruth and he gave birth to Oved. Oved gave birth to Yishai. Yishai gave birth to David HaMelech. And from there came out Malchus and Yiskayim. So this is what Rabbi Akiva darshaned. We see from Rabbi Akiva, he was the person that fell. Everyone falls. States Tzadik Yipol Sheva. Everyone falls. Rabbi Akiva was the person that you couldn't keep down. No matter what was against him, you couldn't keep him down. But something else we see from him, he was the eternal optimist. He always had a bright eye for the future. And not only was he an eternal optimist that always had a bright eye for the future, he could see light in the darkest moment, from the darkest moment. He could see optimism in the greatest tragedies. And on this, the Gemara tells us two cases. One, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samech, Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara brings, Rabbi Akiva lived to a ripe old age. States he lived till 120 years old. But when he, in his late last days, and at that time the Romans had a very strong hand on Israel, they started to make difficult decrees. So they made a decree. They made a decree that Klal Yisrael must not learn any Torah. Bar papos ben Yehuda u'motzol Rabbi Akiva she'imakel kilis barabim v'esik b'Torah. So this papos ben Yehuda came and he saw Rabbi Akiva was making big gatherings and teaching Torah. He gathered people barabim and teach them Torah. Akiva yato mishorim ibnei malchus. He said, Akiva, aren't you afraid of the government? Amalai, he said, em shalachol moshe l'ma David Eimer. I'll give you an example. L'shu'ol shohoye mahalei hargabi anor. There was a fox who was walking near the river. Ro dogim shohoye miskapsi mimokam l'mokam. And he saw the fish were running and running. They were swimming fast. So he asked them, why, what's the matter? Why are you running so fast? Because the fishermen are coming with their nets and we have to escape the nets. So the fox said, perhaps you want to come up to the dry land. There's no fishermen's nets here. And we will live together. This is like our fathers lived together at one time. Omrulai, so they said to the fox, Atohu Shaimrim Alecho Pikeak Shebachayos. Are you the animal, the creature which everyone says you are the most clever one of all of the animals? Le Pikeak Ato Le Tipishato. You're not clever, you're a fool. Uma Bemokam Chayosainu Onomishorin. If in the water, which the water gives us life, there were in danger. Come up to the dry land, which dry land kills us. So how much more so will we be in danger? So the Bekiva said to Papus, Af anachno. The same thing with Israel. When we learn Torah, which gives us life, as it states, this is your life and the length of your days. And we are in danger then, if we will leave Torah, do you think we will be out of danger? How much more so will we be in danger? You told me that I shouldn't learn Torah and I shouldn't teach Torah because it's dangerous. If even while we have the Torah, which is our source of life, we are in danger. So you can imagine what the danger will be if we will close the yeshiva. And he went and he set up yeshivas all over. Now, Omru Lohoi Yomi Martin, but time came, at Shetofsu Little Bekiva. The government said, go get him. And they threw him in jail. And not far from him was this other fellow, Papus ben Yehuda, also thrown in jail. And the Bekiva said, how did you get here? So he said, Ashrecha Bekiva. He says, how fortunate is you? At least you came to jail because you were learning Torah. He says, I came to jail for nonsense. Then the Romans started to torture him and kill him. And as they were killing him, Bekiva went and he said, the Shema Yisrael. The Talmidim came and they said, Ad kan, even now you say the Shema. What did Bekiva answer? He said, Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitztayer Al Posuk Zeh. He says, I've been waiting for this opportunity. It says, Bechol Nafshicho, that you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechol Nafshicho, with your whole life. What does that mean? Afilu Neitel Es Nishmoscho, that you have to be prepared to give your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, I've all my life, Amati Mosai Yovo Liyodi Vakaimeno. All my life, I ask myself the question, will I ever have the opportunity to give my life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill this mitzvah? V'yoav to'eis Hashem Elokecho b'chol levavcho b'chol nafshicho. And I was mitztayer, he says, oyisi mitztayer al posuk zeh. I had anguish because I thought that this is a mitzvah I would never be able to fulfill, where I could give my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Akshiv Shiboli Yodi, he says, this is my greatest joy. Now that I have the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah, Lei Aikemenu, I will not fulfill it. Now here we see in the greatest depths of tragedy, in the greatest depths of the Churban, and his Talmidim couldn't understand. Why are you so joyous? Why are you saying Shema Yisrael? And he turned around and he couldn't understand them. He says, I've waited. I always was in anguish in my life. This was a mitzvah that I was afraid I would leave this world without fulfilling. Imagine, we become broken over those who had to give their life for Yiddishkeit. And Rabbi Kiva said, I was broken because I thought I wouldn't have this opportunity. Mitzta'arati. And now it's come to my hands. And I should not fulfill it. And he looked in wonderment at his Talmidim. And he said, Shema ho'yimayirich be'echod. And he said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. At sheyotzod nishmosi be'echod. And his soul departed when he was saying Echod. Yotz Baskol V'omro, and a voice from heaven came and said, Ashrecha Rebbe Kiva Shiyotzo Nishmosko Be'echod. Happy is Rebbe Kiva that his soul went out on the word Echod One, who mezuman l'chayei l'mabo. He has a world to come waiting for him. So here in the greatest darkness and depths of tragedy, which many are forced to go through, Rabbi Akiva looked for it as an opportunity. He saw bracha in it. One other case, the Gemara brings similar to this. And this is in the end of Masechta Makis. The Gemara brings at the end of Masechta Makis and Daf Chof Dalet, Seif Omer Aleph. Ukfar Hoyer, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva. Four of the four great sages. Mahalchim b'derech. They were walking on the way. V'shamu kol ha'menesh oremi. And they heard the shouts and the roars of the multitudes, Mipalcha, from the great city of Rome, Berochag Mea Ve'esri Mil, from about 120 kilometers away. Like you pass the wanderers in the middle of a big game, you hear the roars. They could hear the roars from the great city of Rome, 120 kilometers away, V'skilu Bochim. As mentioned, they lived right after the Korban Habayis, and they started to weep, all of them. Why? Because Yerushalayim was a Korban, and here, the great city of Rome, you could hear 120 kilometers away. But Rabbi Akiva Misachik, they saw a tragedy. Rabbi Akiva saw Simcha. He rejoiced. We turned to Momrulai Mibnemato Mesachik. They turned to Rabbi Akiva, "Are you all right? What are you Mesachik for? What are you laughing? What are you rejoicing for?" Omrulahem Batem Mibnematem Bechim. He turned to them and said, "Well, kindly tell me, why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" Omrulai Halol Kushim Shemishtachavim Latzabim, Umekatrim Lavezkovim Yeshvin Betech, Veheshkate, Vaonu Beis Hadem Ragle Elkenu Sorv Beish. He says, these pagans who bring sacrifices to idolatry, and they sit with so much wealth and so much shalom, and we are supposed to be the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis HaMikdash, is sort of be'ish, is ashes, b'leinavake, and we should not weep. Omalehan, so he told them, Lekachani Mesachik. He says, this is why I am rejoicing. Umale Evri Ritzaine Kach, Le Aise Ritzaine Al Achas Kama Vakamo. When I see what kind of wealth and prosperity the wicked will have, from here I can visualize what kind of wealth and prosperity and brocha those who fulfill the will of the Almighty will have. When I see Rome, such an enormous, illustrious city, this teaches me what Yerushalayim will be one day. And therefore I rejoice. They answered him. No, here they didn't answer. What happened? There was Churban, and they saw Churban. He saw Binyan. He saw building from that. Shuv Pamachas. Another case the Gemara brings. Haya Olin Yerushalayim. He was walking with them up to Yerushalayim. Kiven Shigia Laharat Sofim. They came to Harat Sofim. Harat Sofim is Mount Scopus. That's where Hebrew University is built. If you stand on Mount Scopus, you have an enormous, beautiful view of Har HaBayis, of the compound of the Beis Hamikdash today, Nebuch, you see the mosque. Okay. It was called Har Tzofim because Tzofim means to see. You're able to tzofer, see. And that's where the word scopus comes from, I think. I think in Greek or something, that also means the same thing. Yeah. Yeah, scope. So they came to Har Tzofim. And once you come up on that mountain, you see the Beis Hamikdash, you're right over the Beis Hamikdash. They all rent their garments because they saw the Beis Hamikdash in ruins. Kivin Shigil Harabais, they walked further, and now they came to the outer parts of the compound itself. Harabais. Ra'u Shul Shiyotzim Beis Kodesh HaKdoshim. From where the Kodesh HaKdoshim used to be, the Holy of Holies, they saw a fox come running out to show its desolation. They all started to weep, but Rabbi Kiva Masachik, Rabbi Kiva laughed with joy. Omrulay, they said to him, why are you laughing? Omrulayim ibnematem bochim. So he turned to them and said, tell me why you're weeping. Omrulay, they said, Mokum shekosubay vazor hakorev yumos vachshuv shualim ochibay velenavakeh. On the place where the Torah said that even the king of Israel, if he's not a Kohen, he's not allowed to walk there. How Kodesh that place is. And we see foxes come running out. Rodents come running out. We should not weep. Omer lehem lekachadi mesachek. He says, this is why I am rejoicing. Why? So he quoted, he says, there are two nevuas. There are two prophecies. And he quoted both prophecies. There's one prophecy in Micho. In Micho Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis, Lachein Biglalchem Tzion Soda Sechoresh, Yushalayim Iin Tia V'Arabais Lebomesh Yo'ar. In Micho Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis, it says that Micho prophesied from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that because of your sins, Tzion shall become a plowed up field. Tzion is the area of Yerushalayim where David lived. That should become a plowed up field. Yerushalayim iin tia. Yerushalayim will be desolate. And Harabais, in the place of the Beis Hamikdash, Levomesh Yo'ar, will be like mounds in a forest. That was one prophecy. Now he quoted another prophecy. A prophecy from Zechariah. In Zechariah Perches. There Zechariah starts to give prophecies of what will of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. It says, Vayhi dvar Hashem tzevokes lemor, kei amar Hashem tzevokes. Hashem says, kinesi letzion kina gdola. He says, I am zealous at what is happening to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, v'chema gedela kinesi lo. And I am filled with anger at what the goyim are doing to Yerushalayim. Ko amar Hashem. And therefore Hashem says, Shafti el Tzion, I shall return to Tzion, v'shochanti b'seich Yerushalayim, and I will dwell again in Yerushalayim, v'nikra Yerushalayim ir ha'emes. Yerushalayim will be known as the city of truth, v'har Hashem tzevokes har ha'kodesh, and the mountain of Hashem will be known as the har ha'kodesh, the mountain of holiness. Ko amar Hashem tzevokes, Hashem said, there'll come a day when again Yerushalayim will be filled up with even old men and old women walking the streets of Yerushalayim without fear. And even such old people that will have to walk with canes. And the streets of the city will be filled with children, little boys and little girls, misachkin berachevesecho, playing in the streets. Now, Rekiva quoted these two prophecies. One from Micha, who prophesied the destruction, and the other from Zechariah, who prophesied the rebuilding. And he said as follows. He said, Ad shele niskaimo nivuase shel Uria. One, he says in the name of Uria. He said, He says, I always was afraid that perhaps the prophecy of Zechariah, where he prophesies such wonderful things for Yerushalayim and Zion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come back and you'll see old people and with canes and children and everything filling the streets of Yerushalayim. He says, I was always a little afraid if that would come true. Achshav shenishkayim hanevuasei shel Uria. But now that I saw that the prophecy, there were two prophecies. One prophecy that Yerushalayim will become such a churban, it will be sode b'tzion techoresh, it will be like a plowed up field. Now that I see that this prophecy has become fulfilled, so then biyodua, so now we have a guarantee shenevuasei shel Zechariah miskaimo, that the other prophecy will also be fulfilled. Until now, I never had a guarantee that that prophecy will be fulfilled. But now when I come and I see that Sion and Harabais has become a plowed up field, and immediately comes to mind, this is exactly what Micho said, Har Sion Shodetzechorish, that Har Sion will become a plowed up field. So we see that prophecy is true. Then be your doer, we are guaranteed now that the other prophecy will also be true. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Kino Gedola, Kinesi Kino Gedola, Vechema Gedola. He will come and take revenge from the Goyim, and he will return to Yerushalayim, and the city will be filled with Zekedim, Zekenais, and Ish Mishante Biyodai, and the streets will be filled with children, little boys and little girls, Mesachim. He says, therefore, Ani Mesachik, therefore I am full of joy. B'loshen hazeh omrulei, with this exact expression, the Chachomim answered Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, you have brought us comfort. Akiva, you have brought us comfort. So we see that the power of Rabbi Akiva was where you couldn't turn him back. He'd be knocked down, he'd get up. In his youth, in his middle age, he'd be knocked down, he'd get up. In his old age, he'd be knocked down, he would get up. In the darkest and deepest tragedy, he would see opportunity, he would see brocha. He would see the churban, and they would weep over the churban. He would rejoice. If this, they would hear of the great shouts and prosperity of the goyim, and Yerushalayim was a churban. If this is the prosperity for the evrei aveira, for the wicked, you could imagine what our prosperity will be. See the ashes of Yerushalayim, he would say, this is the guarantee of the prophecy what Yerushalayim will be. Even when he was being Yotzela Hariko, when he was being killed by the Goyim, by the Romans, he says, I rejoice in this opportunity. Now I have the opportunity not to leave the world without fulfilling the mitzvah of giving my life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw the whole world as opportunity. It was just the opposite, which we mentioned in the beginning of the shir, like it comes, like we said, with Christianity. There, you sign up, and everything is taken care of. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person greater and greater and greater challenges, which are greater and greater opportunities for him. And this is what he saw in every episode of life. So this is something that we can learn from.
on this Lag BaOmer, which has so much to do with Rabbi Akiva, his talmidim, and his life.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.